Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There's some verses in the Bible that I have to do a lot of legwork to explain why they're good news. I don't think that's the case for this verse. I think even the most hardened atheist would recognise why this verse appeals to people. We all want rest, don't we? Many of us feel weary and burdened. Maybe we feel weary at the moment of being isolated from friends and family. Maybe we're weary of trying to make our way up the career ladder. Maybe we're just weary of life as a whole. It just doesn't feel like it brings satisfaction anymore. Many of us feel burdened. We feel like there's just too much on our plates. If it was just the kids misbehaving, just arguments with our family, just stress at work, that would be fine. But it's all of these things together and a thousand things more. Jesus comes to people like that, people like you and me, and says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. That is an incredibly appealing thought. However, I think that the way that we get that rest, the things that we have to believe for that rest to be ours, I think they're things that we might struggle with a little bit more. And yet, I think what you'll see as we look through this passage is that what Jesus offers and the things that we might struggle to believe, they belong together. You can't have this gift without these challenging truths. So we're going to do two things this morning. First of all, we're going to look at the gift Jesus offers. And secondly, we're going to look at the challenging truths we need to believe. The gift Jesus offers and the challenging truths we need to believe. So let's look first of all at the gift Jesus offers. And that's actually towards the end of our passage. Verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what's the burden Jesus is speaking of here? Well, I think particularly he's speaking of the burden of the law. At a later point in church history, Peter talks about the Gentiles being welcomed in to the people of God. And there's a bit of a debate amongst the Jewish believers. Do the Gentiles have to believe all of the Old Testament things? Do they have to be circumcised? Do they have to keep the Jewish food laws? And what Peter says to them is, he says, God who knows the heart shows that he accepted them, the Gentiles, by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? Peter here references a burden that neither the Gentiles nor the Jews before them had been able to bear. What is that burden? Well, that burden is the law, all of the laws that the Jews were given in the Old Testament, and no doubt all of those additional laws that the Pharisees created. And we'll see next week some of the burden that was put upon people by the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. They saw all the rules of the Bible and then they added this extra layer of extra rules that you needed to keep to be accepted by God. They viewed God almost like a talent coach. He was only going to accept the brightest and the best. They looked around at all the people around them and they said, these are the kind of people, the people like us, that God's going to accept. Those above this line and anyone below is going to reject. That's how they saw the world. And that was a burden. You can understand that, can't you? You're constantly trying to keep God's law so that you can achieve that perfect standard. And there is always the danger, there's always the danger, that you will fall short, that you will let him down, and that you will fail to keep God's law. It is a very stressful life. And for many of us, we've maybe grown up in a religious environment where that was the way things were done. We were told that we needed to keep all of the rules, and those included not just the rules in the Bible, but also some additional rules. And we were told if we kept those, we will be accepted by God. We might not even have been told that. We might have been told that God was a God of grace, but we felt that that was the way that we needed to live. But it's not just the religious. There are many rules in our secular worlds. We need to say the right things. We need to make sure we don't tread the wrong way on one issue or another. It's interesting seeing people who fail in our society. Often they'll say, look, I've got this wrong. Please forgive me. And basically, the people out there on social media and in the news, they'll often refuse to give that forgiveness. They'll say they're beyond the pale. They cannot be forgiven now. It's a burden trying to live to a certain standard. And maybe you know how that feels. Whether it's trying to achieve God's law, or whether it's trying to live up to the standards and expectations of either the people around you or of you yourself. Many of us feel weary and burdened by the yoke of people's expectations, of God's expectations, of trying to live up to a certain standard. And Jesus says to those kind of people, come to me. Why do we need to come to Jesus? Because Jesus gives rest. I once heard the Christian message summarised in two words, do and don't. Every other religion, every other worldview says to people, do. There's a certain set of things you need to do to be a good, a worthwhile and acceptable person. That happens in a lot of religions, keep these commands, but it also happens in our secular world. You need to do these things and then you're a decent person. But what Christianity brings, what Jesus brings, is something that no one else offers. It's to say, it is done. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. What does that mean? It means if you've trusted in Jesus, you don't have to work up to that standard. You're already there. Jesus has paid the price for your sin. He has lived your perfect life and he has brought you into God's kingdom. So when you die, you'll be there. You don't need to do anything additional to trusting in Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Because what Jesus offers is a way for the yoke of the law, the burden of the law, to be taken off. For the Jewish people, that was a particular blessing because they had lived under these rules that were impossible to keep for many years. They knew they'd failed. And for Jesus to say, come to me, all who are weary, lifted a huge burden from their back. But that burden happens to many of us as well. So come to Jesus if you're weary and he will give you rest. Rest from the need to achieve your way to God. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't have expectations for us. He ends by saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is still a yoke. But the yoke is to Jesus. And therefore it is easy and it is light. A yoke would often join two oxen together. The Bible often talks about being yoked to certain people. So Paul famously says, don't be yoked to unbelievers, thinking about very close relationships with believers. I guess marriage would be the most obvious, that a Christian should be yoked to an unbeliever. The idea here is of us being joined to Jesus, and being united to Jesus makes all the pressures of this world, all the expectations of God so much easier. He gives us his spirit to empower us to do what is right. He gives us forgiveness by his blood. He gives us direct access to God. So if you don't know Jesus, the message he would give to you right now is, come to me. Don't look anywhere else. Come to me. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest from having to achieve your way to God. I'll give you rest from having to live up to the expectations of others. Come to me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now that's the truth we all want to believe. However, there are two challenging truths that are required for us to experience that rest of Jesus. And we see those two challenging truths in the first part of this passage. If we want to have the gift God gives, and Jesus gives, if we want to have rest, then we need to accept these two challenging truths. And the first challenging truth is this. God chooses on the basis of grace. God chooses on the basis of grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favour. It's when you're given something that you do not deserve. So imagine a school sports day and the children all line up for their race and they run down to the finish line. We did that on the church field with the Goslings preschool group when Lucy was in Goslings. And there were children that got first, and there were children that got second, and there were children that got third. However, they all got a medal. Now, there were many children, I won't say whether Lucy was one of them or not, but there were many children who came last, but they still got a medal. They hadn't deserved it. Now, when you get up to the Olympics, that wouldn't be the best thing to do. But in a preschool, I think it's acceptable to give those gifts on the basis of no merit whatsoever. Well, Jesus says that is the way that God gives out his gifts. He is praising God in verse 25. It's almost like peeking into Jesus' Father's Day card. Here's the reason why he loves his Father. Here's the reason why he thinks his Father is great. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. The Pharisees thought they were all that. They thought that they had got the special standard. They thought they were greater than anyone else. And yet, God didn't reveal the message to the Pharisees. He revealed the message to people like Matthew, the author of this book. People that the Pharisees had said were too sinful for God. That was who God revealed the message to. They are children not because they are gullible and certainly not because they are innocent. But they are children because they have nothing to bring. Think of the most wise and learned person you can imagine. Maybe a professor at a great university. Someone who has been an expert in their field for decades. And then think of a little child. Which one is going to understand more? Which one is going to achieve more? Well, of course, it's that man or woman who's been in that field for decades. The child has nothing to bring to the table. And yet, Jesus says God is great because he doesn't reveal himself to those who think they are wise and learned, who think they are good enough. He reveals himself to little children who are utterly dependent upon him. Now that is a controversial truth. It's controversial for two reasons. Number one, it is controversial because we all like to think of ourselves as being wise and learned. We like to think that if there was this ranking in the world, we certainly wouldn't be number one, but we'd be somewhere up that list. I don't know whether you took part in it. Nat and I did the big IQ test. I can't remember what they called it, that the BBC did. And before you begin, they ask you, or maybe after you've finished, I can't remember. Certainly before they give you the results, they ask you where you think you'll rank. And I'm embarrassed to say that both Nat and I thought we'd do pretty well. We thought we'd have a very good IQ. We'd done well at school. We were educated people. We still read. And then we got the results. We weren't bottom of the pile, but we were a lot lower than we thought we were. And isn't that the case for human beings? We like to think we're more wise and learned than we are. Now, in an IQ test, that doesn't have any massive implications. It's a humbling moment, but it doesn't have massive implications. Yet, in relation to God, it is huge. If you think you can come to God and say, "Look, God, at all that I've achieved," you will not be accepted. That is a hard truth, but it's an important truth. You're never going to be able to find rest if you are trying to prove that you are good enough for God. The only way to rest is to give up the idea that you can be wise and learned, that you can be good enough to God, that you can achieve a certain standard and be accepted. Part of coming to Jesus means letting that standard go. The other reason why this truth is controversial is because it assumes something which has actually been quite controversial amongst Christians. It assumes that God elects, that God chooses who he reveals himself to. We read at the start of our service from the book of Ephesians, and we sang a song which spoke of God choosing those who come to him. Let me read it to you again. Ephesians chapter 1, which is a few books on from where we are. Ephesians chapter 1. It says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him," that's in Jesus, "before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." We're told there that God does choose. Now, lots of people find that a very difficult truth, and that's understandable. But part of the reason we find that difficult is because we're still thinking on that sliding scale. We're thinking God would be unfair to let wise and learned people go to hell. He's unfair. They deserve a chance. And yet the reality is, if we read the Bible, that all of us have fallen so far short. We all completely deserve to be rejected by God. God chooses with grace, with unmerited favour, to choose people to reveal himself to. And then once Jesus is revealed to them, they accept him. They trust in him. Now, that's a controversial truth. It's even controversial among Christians. But I would argue that without it, there's an element of rest that you simply can't have. Most people who don't believe in predestination don't believe in what's called the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints says that once God has revealed himself to you in Jesus, he's never going to let you fall away. If God has revealed himself, if he treats you as his little child, he's never going to let you go. That's incredible good news, isn't it? But it can't be true unless God has chosen us. He's chosen to reveal himself to us. Now, I acknowledge that that is a hard truth. There's many things to think through about that truth. But one of the things that's interesting here is how Jesus sees that truth. He doesn't see it as something to be embarrassed about. He doesn't even think of it as something that's true, but it's kind of neutral. It's just one of those facts of the universe. He sees it as a reason to praise God. He praises God because God just chooses because he chooses. He doesn't choose on the basis of any objective standard. He just chooses to reveal himself to little children who are weak and helpless to know God. So, we need to accept God's unmerited favour. We need to accept God's grace if we're going to get that rest that Jesus brings. And secondly, we need to accept that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus says this, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Now there's loads to unpack in that verse. But the big message is this. God the Father and God the Son are working together. And the only way to come to know God the Father is through God the Son. Now, many people would like it if Jesus had said, "I'm the way to God the Father." But if somebody's tried really hard to get to God the Father through another religion, or they've maybe tried to live a moral and good life, but they've never known me, it doesn't matter. I'll lead them to the Father anyway. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says to this crowd, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus is the bottleneck to getting to know God. That means there is no second chance. It's not like you can believe in Jesus and then if you fail that one, then there's a few other ways that you might get through the door. This is it. This is the criteria. Do you know Jesus or not? Because he is the only way that you can come to know the Father. Now, the exclusivity that Jesus proclaims there is a challenge to us. We don't want to say that. We don't want to say that people who don't know Jesus are going to be rejected. But it's the truth. I read an interesting illustration of this by an author called Tim Keller. He said this, "Imagine that I come to you and I have the cure for cancer. And I say to you, don't do any other form of treatment. No chemotherapy, no radiotherapy, no other treatments, because here it is. This is the cure for cancer. Take this." If somebody said that to you, you wouldn't turn around and go, "How narrow-minded." It's the cure. It's the only cure. It doesn't matter if people like chemotherapy or radiotherapy more. That's the cure. And Jesus is saying the same thing. You've all tried various ways to get to God the Father, keeping the law, keeping the five pillars of Islam, just living a good and moral life. But all of them are rubbish. They do not work. I am the cure. I am the way to the Father. No one gets to the Father except through me. And you need to accept me. Now, again, that's controversial. That's hard to hear. But it does bring rest. Because all of these other ways to God, as we said before, they're on the basis of do. They're on the basis of achieve your way to God. What Jesus brings is done. He says, "I've completed it. Come to me, get rid of your burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Be united to me, and I will lead you to the Father." You cannot have the rest Jesus offers unless you accept those two truths. You accept that you are welcome, not on the basis of your works, but on the basis of grace. And you accept that there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Now, some of you who are watching this today, you haven't yet accepted Jesus as your Saviour. Well, let me urge you. First of all, If you want to know where to focus your attention on Jesus. Jesus says the only way to get to the Father is through me. So if you're thinking about there's all these many different things that I need to look into and get an understanding of, where do I begin? Jesus is saying to you, begin with me. I am the key. That's why we do Christianity Explored or any of our courses, we focus in on Jesus because he is the door to God. He is the way, the truth and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. So if you're starting out investigating Christianity, the thing you need to focus your attention on is Jesus. But if you've paid attention to Jesus, if you've been thinking about these things for a while and you've come to see that Jesus is who he says he is, and don't think about like the people that we read of last week who said, yeah, but he doesn't fulfill all my expectations. He doesn't do the things I want to do. I prefer it if God was like this. No, hear what Jesus says. Come to me. If you come to me, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you a place in heaven with the Father. I'm going to give you a yoke that is easy and light. I'm going to bring you acceptance with God. You will be a son or daughter of God just as I am. However, you can only have that if you come to me. So right now, come to Jesus. Now, the Bible says that there's two things involved in coming to Jesus. There's repenting and believing. Repenting is basically letting go of all the things of your old way of life, the sins that you've committed, but also those attempts at trying to achieve your own salvation. You need to accept that you are not wise and learned. You are not good enough to get to God. And then secondly, you need to believe. You need to believe that Jesus will give you rest. That when he died on the cross, he paid the punishment for your sins so that you didn't need to achieve your way to God any longer. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Jesus right now. And if you've done that, please be in touch and I'll be able to share with you some resources that would help you in your Christian life. If you go to our Facebook page, you can send a message on the page. I'll read it and I'll get in touch and maybe suggest some things you can do to start off your Christian life. But if you come to Jesus, it's over. He has won you salvation. Now, for us as Christians, we know theoretically that Jesus has given us rest. But sometimes we struggle with that, don't we? Sometimes we worry that we need to achieve this standard again. Sometimes we worry that we've let God down. Sometimes all the pressures of the world overwhelm us so that we focus so much more on them than we do on the rest that we have in Jesus. The truths that we have mentioned today are the truths we need to dig down on if we want to not only have that rest, which you already have if you're a Christian, but also to feel that rest. If we acknowledge that God has revealed the truth to us, that it's not dependent on any of our own works, if we accept that we have been chosen not because we're the best of the best, but more that we're the worst of the worst, then it will make us realise that God accepts us even on our worst days. And also, if we recognise that through Jesus is the key, that he's the only way to get to the Father, we'll remember that when we fall short, when we fail, if we're still trusting in Jesus, then we still have rest. We still have a way to the Father. Our sin doesn't create an additional barrier. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. It's an offer that everyone wants to accept. It's the gift everyone is looking for. But recognise the only way to have that gift is through Jesus.